You guys ready to answer some tough questions? All right, well, I will tell you, what was it, a month ago? I mean, it's been a while since I've been up here. I'm a little nervous, so bear with me tonight.
Yeah, right.
I'm fired up. So about a month ago, or last time we were talking about, I mentioned there's a couple different things that I really want to do, and this is one of them, but it didn't turn out that way, of what I was really gearing up to do. I listened, what really got it started on the goodness of God, I listened to just a 30-minute sermon by, it doesn't even matter. And I got so pumped up on the goodness of God and all the different, you know, the cool Bible verses that talk about the goodness of God and everything that goes along with it. So I said, with that 30 minutes, there's no way he had everything packed into there. I want to dive in myself and find all the goodness of God stuff and pull this thing together and just put something together that's just out of this world because I got so fired up. Well, it didn't take me long to realize that was for me. I needed it at that time. I really, really did. And I was not able to put a goodness of God message together the way I had thought in my mind. When I said at the time, I'm coming, man. I'm coming loaded for bear, and God is good. And I was really geared up for it. And I just could not put it together for nothing. And again, I think going along the lines of what I'm called for, that's just not it. But as it turned out, the message that I have tonight is what sprung from that. So I'm still fired up about it because God is good. I told you in the email, the centerpiece of the verse that we're going to talk about is Romans 2:4. So let's start with that. New King James Version. I got a bunch of them written here. But 2:4, again, don't just focus on 2:4 because I believe that's where a lot of things go wrong. People pick a certain thing and it sounds good and it teaches good and it preaches well. And people hang their hat on that and then problems arise, right? So read before and after and just kind of understand the whole thing, who Paul was talking to, what he was talking about, why it was there. But just focusing on it just for a minute, it says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance? As I continued to develop and build on the goodness of God, this is where I kept getting stuck over and over and over and over. The question that came out is the goodness of God enough to lead men to repentance? I mean, I'm not talking about just the once in a while, I'm sorry. I'm talking about a true repentance, change in their way. Is the goodness of God enough to lead men to repentance?
Yes, if we understand
this. Just focusing on 2:4, it says, or do you not despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance? And again, I'm reading out of New King James Version. So based on that, it would lead you to immediately believe, yes, the goodness of God is what leads men to repentance. That's what it says. There's a lot of versions. So amplified, what it says is that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repent, to change your mind, the inner man to accept the will of God. In New International Version, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? The only version that most people have gravitated to that says the goodness of God leads you to repentance, which is, looks like a very firm statement, is the New King James Version. Every other variation of it, there's an intention there. And you got to understand where Paul is coming from and who he's talking to and how the whole thing is laid out. So intended, if there's an intention there, that's a supposed to. That means it didn't happen. Why is he preaching this in the first place? The goodness of God did not lead them to repentance. He's saying, oh, you crazy nut job of a man, do you not understand the goodness of God is meant to lead you to repentance? It already didn't happen. That's why he's preaching this message. Do you agree? So I'm going to go through a series of this because I wholeheartedly believe a lot of the messages that are happening today are spawned from one-liners that have gone away. I wholeheartedly do. If the goodness of God is enough, why didn't one single Bible-documented message preached after Paul's statement start with or end with God is good? Jesus loves you. Everything will be okay. And then continue on with or stay on the God is good message. After Paul's revelation says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance, why didn't one single message by any Bible writer start with or end by saying God is good? If that is the case, right? And just about every message outlined in the Bible from the beginning all the way to the end through Revelation, there is a message of repentance. There's a consequences of sin. There's warnings of coming judgment. all the way to the end. It didn't get to Paul's revelation in Romans 2:4 and then change. The message stays the same. We have perverted little tiny bits and pieces of it to our own liking, and it's just not right. We've taken the feel-good parts and magnified them to the point the parts that don't fit with how we want to roll are so far on the back burner that we're not even certain of this coming judgment. Make sense? Look at 2 Peter 3:15. Peter's writing here quotes what Paul said in Romans 2:4. He takes Paul's writing and says, listen, here's what Paul said. But here's what you got to understand. He starts with, in verse 14, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, why in the world would any of that matter? Jesus loves me, right? He understands my shortcomings. Why would Peter now, after Paul's statement, start with, be diligent that you're found in peace, without spot and blameless? This is after Paul's revelation. He said, Paul has some revelation. Man, it's hard for some of us to understand, but we're going to take that and I'm going to build on it. Be careful here. He starts with that. Then he goes into what Paul said. He duplicates it. Then he continues by saying, ignorant and unstable men twist these sayings into their own destruction. He starts his close of this second book by saying, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. How can you put the goodness of God in the midst of all these warnings and then just walk away with, yeah, but it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Everything else is okay. How do you take the warnings and just set them aside like he really didn't even say them? The good news message today has adopted the rule that God's goodness is what leads men to repentance, which has twisted the word into nothing more than non-result-driven fluff. You can't take one piece and leave the others and expect results. And too many people are expecting results. Going to God with the goodness, like Nate brought up with the fear part of it, leaving the fear totally aside and expecting it to work. It's not going to happen. You know, the good news message today is Christ already accomplished everything, right? I can tell you what's being taught out there. Christ already accomplished everything. Everything you'll ever need on the cross, right? Sit back, relax, enjoy the rewards of this earth. It's all about the finished work of Christ. Thank God there is a finished work of Christ. Thank God it's not based on our own ability. Thank God we have him as a Savior. I get all that. I'm all in. I love the grace message. My issue is we've preached it and we've taught it in a way that there's no next step. The simplest way I can put it is you say a sinner's prayer. You've made it. You're in the family. You're good. Little dunk here, little dunk there. You made it. There's a problem in this goodness of God message that's not working. At that moment, when we do that, when we cast judgment on that person by saying, you've made it, that is a horrific judgment in my book. Who are you to say they just made it? They now have a golden ticket to heaven because they followed what you led them to do. That's a terrible judgment. And I say that in the best way. Most people look at judgment as bad. You go up against a judge, he's going to judge you one way or the other. When it says don't judge, it doesn't say don't judge the bad. Don't judge. How are you determining they made it? You have no idea their heart. Only God does. So at that moment, I personally believe most people, we remove the responsibility the Bible clearly teaches and set people off in the wrong way. What about the commands to fear him, to love him, to follow him, to become a disciple of his, to die to your own life? What about becoming a slave to righteousness or loving others as yourself? What about even going so far to the sin not scriptures? How do all those things come into play with the goodness of God leads man to repentance? We have to go to the next step. You know, because of the feel-good messages today, these commands, that's what they are. Love him. Love your neighbor as yourself. You have to die to yourself. Take up your cross daily. Follow me. All these things are commands. But I truly believe the feel-good messages that are out there today because of it. These commands hold very little water, very little weight in our daily decision-making ability. We almost never think about the commands of the Bible without just living life. Almost never. That's a problem. That's a problem in our messages today. A problem. You know, what about this? You know, the good news message today is Jesus loves you. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But the good news message today is Jesus loves you. He forgives you. He understands what you're going through. And he accepts you for who you are. That's a good news message. Makes people get warm and fuzzy and all the bad things just kind of go away. You melt down what most people are teaching today, there's just a good news message undertone. The conviction and the bad side is just going away. It's just not being driven home. Think about it. I mean, when you dummy it down that much, the meat and potatoes are taken right off the plate, and they're trying to get you right to the sweet potatoes and Hawaiian Delight dessert. Right? Because that's what goes down. That's what preaches well. So Jesus don't understand what you're going through, and he doesn't accept you for who you are. He's looking for change. Repentance is change. I'm not here to sugarcoat it. He don't love you for who you are. There's going to be a lot of people that are lost, dying, going to hell, and he says, I don't know you. You can't just assume you're the one that he just loves regardless, and I'm just all in whether you like it or not. It's a radical life change. It has to be. But doesn't the Bible say, and this goes along with, he accepts you for who you are. Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus was tempted in all points? Therefore, he understands any and everything you'll ever be tempted in yourself. Okay, well then couple that with 1 John 2:6. That goes on to say, he who abides, or he who says he abides in him, shouldn't he also walk as he walked? Doesn't that take the, he understands what you're going through, and he cares for you, and he loves you, and he, all that mushy stuff anyways? Doesn't it take that off the table? If you abide in him, you ought to walk as he walked. He didn't walk sheepishly. He didn't walk with an oh, poor me. So how can you now go down the path of, wow, I mean, you just don't understand my life. You just don't understand what I'm going through. I mean, you just don't understand. Yes, he does. I might not. Doug might not. He does. It's not different back then. He knows. Can you guys see just in these couple examples that there's way more meat on the bone than what's been offered at the table here lately? Right? In the backs of our minds, I'm not talking about just a couple of us here, in the backs of our minds talking about the body of Christ, we have been religiously programmed to think the exact same way the people were thinking when Paul wrote Romans 2:4. We have, if you really start thinking about this, we are programmed now to think the exact same way they were thinking when Paul wrote it. He wrote it for us. And we're thinking the same things that they were thinking at that point in time. We take for granted the goodness, the forbearance, the long-suffering. Most people have no idea what that even means. Most people that have been in church for probably 50 years have no idea what that really means when you really break it down. Okay? When it talks about despising in that verse, it simply means to think little or nothing of, or to underestimate what God's doing. We really think little or nothing of his forbearance and long-suffering. Is that true? We think hardly anything. And that's what it says. We despise his goodness because we think little or nothing of his long-suffering and forbearance. If you ask yourself the question, are you not doing the exact same thing they were doing when Paul wrote this? Yes. That's what I was so passionately wrapped up in. Let me ask you this. How often do you think about why God isn't judging people today like he did in the Old Testament? Or, New Testament example, Ananias and Sapphira, where they dropped over dead for telling a lie.
Lied to the Holy Spirit.
There's people that lie to the Holy Spirit today. They're not dropping over dead. Right? So how often are we thinking about why God is not ushering in judgment like he did in the Old Testament and or Ananias and Sapphira? Do you ever think about that? Why is that not happening? You know, how often do you wonder why God is so patiently waiting, sitting back, watching, doing nothing as the society we live in crumbles around us? That is specifically his forbearance and long-suffering that Paul is writing about. I mean, honestly, you don't give it two thoughts of the goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering that's going on. right? Because of the goodness of God, his forbearance and long-suffering, most people today somehow feel that God is okay with their lifestyle or that he will do nothing about the way in which they're living. Because of his goodness, the long-suffering and forbearance that he is showing today, not issuing in judgment immediately, because of these things, we have programmed our minds to think, must not be that bad then. I mean, I must be okay. He must not going to be punishing me. People think little or nothing at all today. Religious people, Christian people, think almost nothing about little white lies. Deception. Sleeping around. Gossip. Disliking other people. Violation of the number one and only command. Think hardly nothing about it. I don't have to like them. Even hating bad people. Right? What about greed, selfishness, jealousy, envy, strife, arguing and backbiting? Not to mention all the big bad ones that are mentioned in Galatians 5. I'm just talking about the little ones that people have almost no thought about. Because of the goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering of God, all these things are just kind of out in the gray area now. Are they really bad? Will I be held accountable for these or won't I? Am I living the lifestyle I'm supposed to live? Am I truly repentant from that old sinful lifestyle or ain't I? See, again, it's so perverted to the point that you think, well, I just got to say sorry when I sin. That is so biblically jacked up, it's not even funny. The consequences of this twisted, perverted religious thinking is many, 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 many continue sinning without true repentance. Thus, taken for granted, God's overwhelming goodness, which Paul was warning about in Romans 2:4. He wasn't telling you it's God's goodness that's going to lead men to repentance. It was warnings. Oh, I don't even know how he wrote it. But if you read it, it's like, what is wrong with you? I mean, are you that blind? That's one word. You know, are you that ignorant that you don't understand the goodness, long-suffering, and forbearance of God is what is happening today to lead you to repentance, to give you an opportunity to make it before judgment comes? Because it's coming. We wrongfully think the goodness, forbearance, long-suffering of God is an indication that we can carry on as we were. Think about it. Think about it as a child growing up. You say, don't touch. God gave you the command. Love your neighbor as yourself. You tell a child, don't touch. They test and tempt the goodness of God. They test and tempt the goodness of their parents. What if it's not hot? Don't touch it. It's hot. And they touch it. It's not hot, right? Because there was no judgment, there was no heat or no slap on the hand, must be okay, right? You tell a child don't do it, and they do it once, and then you just sit back and watch them. All right, well, they didn't listen the first time. I'm just going to let them keep going. Will they stop? No. We've been warned. We have the biblical writings. The warning's there. We're expecting to get slapped by God, and when we don't get slapped, man, I mean, he just must really love me. He just knows my faults. He just understands who I am. It must be okay. Is that not the perverted thinking people have today? It says, but don't you owe, I mean, you guys got to, what does it say? How does he say it? Because he drove it home. I don't know. I hope I find it real quick. Romans 2:3. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? That's what he led in with before he got to Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, right? I think we have this mindset that we're going to escape judgment because we're just kind of in the midst of everyone else doing similar or like things and everything's just kind of blurred and it's okay. I wholeheartedly believe most people just kind of think, oh my God, look around, is he going to send everybody to hell? It's a good possibility. Did he not say, without faith it's impossible to please God? And then he says it's going to be harder to be a Christian later in life. And did Jesus not himself say, will I find faith when I return? Look at the world that we live in. It's getting so dark, so fast, that the time is coming that this forbearance and long-suffering is short-lived. I know people talk about, you know, thousands of years, everybody thought the end time. Look at where we're at today. Look at the prophecies. Look at the things that have happened. Look at the rapid pace of the deterioration like never before. Right? I mean, do you feel where my heart's at with this? Most people really don't think they're going to get called to the carpet and held accountable for the actions that they're doing here on earth. Most people really don't. When I say the good news message has been magnified to a point that the potential bad side is so far removed, I'm telling you, it saddens my heart. But let's look at forbearance and long-suffering real quick in the Greek. I mean, the forbearance side of it literally means that God is self-restraining himself. That's what forbearance is. He is self-restrained. He is self-restrained. The other part of forbearance is to tolerate. God is self-restrained and temporarily tolerating sin in this world. Not going to go on forever. Long-suffering side of it is patience. But the root of word they're talking about in that is slowness to avenging wrong. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not that he's not going to. The slowness is because he is so particular on getting us in a relationship with him. He's willing to slow down eternity to get some of us. Therefore, he's allowing what we see to happen today happen. But we are continually taken for granted that goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, and twisting it in a way that we use it to our selfish gain. It's not going to work out very well for most of us. The Bible is clear. The path is narrow. Few find it. Few. Most people aren't going to make it. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. But I'm going to read the parts that matter as well. You know, it's crazy. So God's delay in taking action against every force opposing him is not because he doesn't care. We think, I mean, what is he doing up there? Doesn't he see babies are dying and things are happening and people are getting in accidents and wanting to take their lives and, I mean, just crazy stuff going on out here. Why don't he step in? If he does, there's going to be a lot of people that don't make it. It's not that he doesn't care. It's the opposite. And if you really think about it, because he is so good, you have the opportunity to sit here tonight. You have a breath in your lung. That's what I'm talking about. Not just being with me. I don't mean nothing. You have the opportunity to breathe right now today. That's how good he is. And when you really think about where I'm going with this, how many no worse sinners than you have already bit the dust, went to their grave in their sin with no future hope? You still have hope. Right? How many worse sinners have you been cut off in their sins, but yet you're still spared at this moment? By the grace of God, you're still spared at this moment. Why? God spared, I mean, he didn't spare the angels that sinned. Booted them. Cast them down to hell, delivered them unto chains of darkness to be reserved to judgment. Yet so far, at this moment, he has still spared you. Why? God struck down. I used it as an example a minute ago. Ananias and Sapphira for telling a lie. How many lies have you told? You're still here. Why? That's the question I'm getting to. These people have died in their sins with no future hope. The Bible says there's no future hope in that. But yet you're still here spared. Why? We can go on. Doug, you're mentioned.
He's the future.
Yeah.
Our hearts will change.
A big part of the message that's being preached today is, I mean, you just say sorry. Move on. Continue. Get up, fail, repeat. Say sorry, get up, fail, repeat, sorry. It's just a crazy lifestyle that we're taught is just normal, and it's not normal. We can give example after example of this. I just want to point out the big picture. You're spared today when others have not been. Why? Is there something more? There absolutely is. Understanding God's goodness, forbearance, long-suffering alters forever your life. If you understand God's goodness, the long-suffering and forbearance that we're seeing here today, no immediate judgment, it will alter your life. Because that goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering is for you. Think about this. Most people know the good part of Romans 2:4, right? The goodness of God leads men to repentance. You could go into church and say that and people go, amen, brother. I'm not being funny about it, but I'm saying the little, you know, exciting pieces of the Bible, people got them. I can quote them. I can do all things through Christ. I don't like no one, but I can do all things through Christ. No, you can't. It sounds good, right? It preaches good, but no, you can't. I mean, sheesh. So again, I'm not trying to be funny about that, but why do you think most things aren't happening in the right way for most people? They're quoting cool things, but they're not digging into the meat and potatoes and going, yeah, I have to die to myself. It's no longer I that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. Most people don't have that. Go to five. Yeah, you keep going. It gets worse, right? But again, what I'm doing is setting the stage, the tone, most people understand four. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. And then they go right on to, they'll skip whole books and whole chapters and they'll pick something else cool. And then they'll go and pick something else cool. Leaving out the important doctrine that really makes a difference. That's the whole premise of what I'm talking about here. But most people know the good part of Romans 2:4. But however, will not dare talk about Romans 11:21 and 22. Won't dare. For crying out loud, you crazy? Right? So you can't pick and choose this. You're either all in or you're not. I'll read it to you. Be not high-minded. Don't think too highly of yourself. You think you got to figure it out? You need to back it down. Humbling better come in quick. I mean, that's what it says to me. Be not high-minded. The next two words, but fear. Well, listen, Paul just wrote Romans 2:4. It's the goodness of God. I mean, why now, a few chapters later, he's saying, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, talking about the Jews, take heed. Here goes another warning. Lest he also not spare you. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. I didn't know there was two sides. On them which fell, severity. But toward you, goodness. Oh, that's me. I'm the goodness part. See, I told you. I don't have to worry about none of that other stuff. Towards me, goodness. And you'll stop right there and camp. Never going on to the next word, which I love. If. But toward you, goodness. If. Oh. Why you got to keep reading, Pastor? Just shut it down right there. I love it. Great message. Let's get out of here. Chicken dinner's waiting. If. That big two-letter word comes out, and Jesus used it all the time. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you shall also be cut off. I mean, you might as well take that once saved, always saved right off the table at that point. Sounds a little like Matthew 24:13, doesn't it? Those who persevere to the end shall be saved. It says, be not high-minded, but fear. If you continue in his goodness, what is his goodness? His love. How do you know you're in his love? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That way is the only way you know you're in him. If you continue in that, I mean, you're golden. You start moving away from that and taking for granted the goodness, long-suffering, and forbearance of God. Come on, guys. I mean, all seriousness, this is so super important that we break the pendulum swing. You look at how the things happen. You go from legalism. Then now, I mean, you go to grace. And now, we got to get rooted and grounded in love. I mean, fully immersed in the fear of the Lord. Those two things have to center and ground us. They have to, or we are lost, which has been a continual problem, on and on and on. I'll give you one more. If the goodness of God was enough, because again, I'm still on the question, is the goodness of God enough? If the goodness of God was enough, why did Jude 1:23 state, have compassion on some, others save by fear, pulling them from the fire? Why in the world would Jude 1:23 say that? If it's only the goodness of God that lead men to repentance. He says, you better scare the wits out of these people. And then what gets me, the spiritual side of this, pulling them out of the fire literally means to take by force. To me, this kind of weighs in on the greater works to me. You have the ability to take by force property of the enemy by saving them with fear. To seize, to pluck, to snatch out of the control of the wicked one. That's what that means, pulling them from the fire. So, but I mean, hold the train. Even take this one step farther. What do you mean pull them from the fire? Isn't that like a present tense? You snatch them out of the hands of the wicked one, you're pulling them from the fire. What fire? I'm looking at you. Nothing's wrong. Everything's normal, and you just think life is going on. But it says you just pulled them from the fire, right? There's a spiritual element here to me. There's no time and there's no space with God. I mean, you're in the fire. You may not physically be feeling the manifestation yet, but there, to me, this is a spiritual element. You have the ability to pluck them out of what they would be eternally lost into forever. I think there's an element of the fear of the Lord that is, here's his goodness and here's his severity. Right? There's two sides. Right? There's the judgment side of it. The Bible throughout the whole thing, like we talked about a minute ago, it's all about consequences of sin. It's all about the coming judgment. What's being taught out there today is it's already done. It's been accomplished. You don't have to live under that. You fear no more. I mean, perfect love, so you don't deal with that. All these great Bible verses are all compiled in a way that, okay, I don't have to worry about that no more. But there's not one story in the Bible, there's not one preaching message in the Bible that says, you don't have to worry about none of that. Matter of fact, Paul, Peter, every single one of them says, beware, lest you fall. Beware, lest you be cut off. Why do you have to beware? Why do we have to have these messages if they're meaningless? If it's just the goodness of God and Christ already did everything for us, why do we got to have these bewares? You get what I'm saying, right? So if the goodness of God was all that mattered and everything else was done, why do we need, and I've mentioned before, why do we need half, three quarters, why do we need 7/8 of the New Testament? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, X, okay, done. We all make it. That's the message that is materializing out of some of these cheap grace versions that are out there today. And it's freaking me out. People do not have the fear of the Lord, right? You know as well as I do, I didn't. I was so opposed to it. I was like, what are you talking about? I mean, let's deal with the love message, right? God is love. And all it talks about is a commandment, love God and love your neighbor. And I'm just going to camp over here. I didn't have the fear. I told everybody that even came close to talking about the fear. Yeah, you're just not made perfect in love. You better step it up like I am, you know what I'm saying? Right? That's the way I look. Like, isn't that high-minded? Yeah, you just don't have it figured out yet. Sooner or later, once you're made perfect in love, you know, come talk to me. Mm-mm, that's not right. Right? You hear the story. I called John and told him, no, dude, man, you got to figure something out, buddy. Just the goodness side of God alone is not making a difference, because people are preaching the grace message and the goodness of God, and it's not doing it. And there's a component in this. And again, I'm not picking on each individual person, because you know you might be past to the point what I'm talking about. But on a whole, this is a sad fact. It's a sad reality of what we're dealing with in a Christian society out there today. We are missing the boat. We're missing the fear of the Lord. I'll tell you, for the last few weeks, even leading up to tonight, I've toiled over this message. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it creates controversy. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, the last thing I want to do is pull anybody down the wrong path in this already jacked up world, right? So I've toiled with it because, I mean, you think about it. You've been told the goodness of God leads men to repentance. You've heard that. Most of anybody that's been around, in and around the Bible any length of time, you've probably heard that at some point in time. So then for me to go against that per se, I toiled with it. I really did, man. But I'll tell you, my wife is my witness before I was even totally awake. God awesomely and graciously, again, confirmed what I wanted to say and where I'm going with this was on track. And I got so excited this morning. I woke up, the very first word out of my mouth
was Israelites.
Not good morning. The very first word that came out of my mouth was Israelites. What was next? I need my pen and paper. Gotta go, right? Israelites. Well, I'm not kidding you. Now, the bad thing is, this is kind of be a little funny because I think God's comical with me a little bit on this, but I said, well, why has it got to be a dream? It says young men have visions. Why mine got to be dreams? Me and him are going to have some talks about this right now because I ain't there yet. I think it was really like half in and half out, so I'm not sure. We're dealing with that. This whole thing just engulfed me, and he was like, do it. And I'm telling you, I woke up and I was like, Israelites. I had no freaking idea or none of that even tied into any of this, but then Israelites. So again, I'm going to start with the if. If the goodness of God was enough, why did the Israelites spend 40 years in the desert, most of them never getting the opportunity to see the promised land? If the goodness of God was good enough, why? Okay? The goodness of God towards them proved not to be enough. Think about it. You started talking about it. You know, many died in their sins in disbelief. God took ownership of these people. Let my people go. Right? He took personal ownership in these folks. The plagues, because he wouldn't let them go. The plagues that started coming at the Egyptians. Did they come on the Israelites? The plagues?
There was light in Goshen.
So the plagues didn't come on the Israelites? Just the Egyptians?
When all the darkness came out.
Did the Israelites get overtaken with the plagues? Or just the Egyptians? So they're in the midst, living side by side with the Egyptians. These guys are getting plagued, and I'm like, the heck? He better let us go, because this is not working out too well for these people. Right? They're witnessing this. They're seeing firsthand. God says, these are my people. You better let them go. Or else. And now they're standing there watching the or else. You think they would figure out? This dude means business. Not only the fear of the Lord, but the goodness as well, right? So they see the plagues of the Egyptians happening right before their eyes, but it's not touching them. How about finally getting out and then coming up to the Red Sea and going, what the heck did you even take us out of here for? I just witnessed all the plagues. None of them came by me. And now we're out, and now they're going to murmur and complain and say, why did you even take us out of here? Now we're going to die. We could have just stayed in there and at least been a slave. Why'd you take us out for? Then the Red Sea parts, and they walk over on dry land. They witnessed this, for crying out freaking loud. Is that not the goodness of God? Then they get through. The Egyptians go, all right, we'll go get you. Here comes the severity of God. You're not going to touch my people. Goodness and severity. How about the fact that the Bible says there were millions of folks? There was not one feeble one among them. My God, this time of year, you can't go to my office with 30 women and six of them not be sick. 30. There was millions, not one feeble one among them. I'm not talking about just a cold, not one feeble one among them. It didn't matter what age they were walking in their own accord. They weren't feeble. They didn't need someone to carry them. They weren't on stretchers and wheelchairs, not one feeble one among them. Can you imagine that? If just our city didn't get sick for 1 year. How about the supernatural daily provision of food? Come on, guys. I mean, I'm just throwing out some little ones here. Never been seen before. What about even getting to the land of milk and honey? Well, God says, go possess the land. After all of these things, the plagues, the supernatural feeding, the parting of the Red Sea, the destroying of their enemies, everything that they went through, come back with a good report. What do they come back with? It is what he said. I mean, all this time, God's been true to his word. It is as what he says. But what did they say? But we are as grasshoppers in our mind. Therefore, we're grasshoppers in theirs also. So it's their belief in who they were. They never picked up the goodness of God, and they never picked up the fear of the Lord, the severity of it. Through the midst of all of this, these guys didn't get it. So was the goodness of God enough for the Israelites? God said, heavens, no. It wasn't. So then how do we, not ever being able to see the things that they've seen, experience the things that they experienced, witness the things they witnessed, how do we get ourselves to the point that we can believe God and understand the goodness and the severity, the love and the fear?
Heroes of faith. Study the stories. We've got the stories.
We've got the stories.
Go through the trials.
Or not. leave the trials alone. Just believe, right? That's a better way. You don't have to go through a trial. So that's where the good news message comes in, because he did do it. The grace gives us a supernatural ability to do what we otherwise couldn't do on our own. I'm all for that. But you have to get the fear of the Lord. You got to understand the goodness of forbearance and the long-suffering before you can take hold and take claim to what he's actually done. And that's what most people are missing, absolutely missing. They're asking for this, and they're running amok, and they're not getting it, and it's just not working for most people because they don't truly understand the goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering of God and what he's doing. God does want the best for you. But you know what that is? It's not a new car. It's not your credit cards paid off. It's not all the million things you immediately go to think about. I just want the goodness of life here. That's not his best for you. You know what it is? Obedience. Your obedience to his word is his best for you. Right? Seek him with all your heart. Love God with all your heart. Soul, mind, strength, love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Selfless living, giving, all those things equate to eternal life. Read the scriptures, it says it. That is what ends up being his best for you. Oh, and by the way, if you can accomplish this, everything else you want in life just gets added to you. The problem is people start at the end and try to work their way backwards. And it doesn't work. It hasn't worked. It's going to continue not to work. I mean, it's tough. It's tough being in the place that we're at now, not witnessing everything and just having the stories. But that's why he said, blessed are you, because you believe and you didn't see. Blessed. What else, guys? What else?